It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
And welcome in, everybody. It is the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com, ESPN NH Radio, ESPNNHRadio.com. I am your host, Patrick Gilroy, hanging out with you guys after a Celtics victory tonight on the road in Charlotte. The final score tonight, 104-98, a solid road win for your Boston Celtics, who now improve to 2-1 on the season. I want to hear from you guys, the fans of the Boston Celtics, because this is the type of grit and balls game that we all have come to love over the course of these last 3 or 4 years under Brad Stevens. The Celtics needed a bit of a gut check type of game tonight after their disappointing, inconsistent performance in Chicago. And that's exactly what the Celtics got tonight. The three ball was king. And that's always important when the three ball is going down, especially on the road. But tonight, even more important. The Celtics go 15 for 31 from the three-point line. They score their first 15 points of the game from the three-point line. But they needed each and every one of those three-point field goals, because tonight the Celtics go just 11 for 17 from the free-throw line. Meanwhile, Charlotte gets 33 attempts from the free throw line, makes 25 of them. A huge disparity there from the free throw line the Celtics had to overcome on the road, and that is exactly what they did. This is one of those games that we may look back at some point this season and say, okay, the Celtics began to find themselves, that identity that we have all come to know and love from a Brad Stevens team. That's exactly what we saw tonight in Charlotte. Charlotte had come into tonight feeling very good about themselves. Huge come from behind win over the Miami Heat. They were 2-0 on the season. This was their season opener at home, their home opener. Michael Jordan in the building, Paul Silas in the building, a banged out spectrum in Charlotte. The place, if you watch any of the CSN pregame, you heard Brian Scalabrine say it was hard to hear himself. Abby Chin saying it was hard to hear herself. The place was electric. The Celtics had to overcome, and that they did. We'll get into the Celtics starting lineup, how just strong their performances were. Yeah, Avery Bradley was outstanding. We know that. Okay, Avery Bradley goes for 31 points, 11 rebounds, hits 8 threes. I mean, he was clearly the offensive leader of the game, the story of the game, the reason why the Celtics were able to pull away in the fourth quarter and win. But up and down that starting lineup, the Celtics continued to get solid, solid performances from the guys that you'd expect those performances to come from. Once again, Isaiah Thomas, who's averaging 25 points a game on this young season, goes 9 for 20 from the field, scores 24 points. He's a plus 15. Just gritty, gritty play, timely offensive plays for Isaiah Thomas tonight, leading the Celtics game in and game out. Their emotional leader, clearly their best offensive player. He's become a true go-to guy. And when Charlotte made runs and even took a lead there late in the game, it was Isaiah Thomas that the Celtics leaned on. And it was, you know, Brad Stevens had to sit Isaiah because he was exhausted for the first 5 minutes of the fourth, and that's when Avery Bradley really stepped up. But up until that point, the Celtics needed everything they got out of their backcourt. What an electric backcourt it was. Avery Bradley, 31 points. Isaiah Thomas, 24 points. But Al Horford was just another solid, solid game. Solid contributions across the board from Al Horford. 14 points. Only goes for 4 rebounds, but seemed to make all the right plays at the right time. Just a lot to get to in tonight's program right here on CLNS Radio and CLNSradio.com. ESPN New Hampshire, ESPNNHradio.com. Of course, it is the Celtics post-game show, where our opening segment, as always, is powered by our friends at Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But use our promo code GARDEN, that's G-A-R-D-E-N. That $1 million suit will cost you just $389. That's 50% off the regular retail price. You want to visit their Boston showroom on Newberry Street to get fitted for your made-to-measure suit so you can start looking as sharp as us. I'm telling you guys, we visited the showroom to get fitted. It was a truly amazing experience. They make you feel like a king while you're there. They make to measure this suit. It fits so perfectly. I mean, it fits so well that I could wear it to bed. It's as comfortable as pajamas, but I look like a million bucks when I go to a black tie event. So do yourself a favor. Do what we did. Head on over to Indochino.com. Use promo code GARDEN, or even better yet, stop by their Newberry Street location. Get measured personally. You want to mention promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit. And, of course, that very important discount today. It is the Celtics post-game show right here. CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire, ESPNNHradio.com. I welcome your phone calls on the Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. It is Patrick Gilroy. Right now, it looks like I am flying solo. Some scheduling conflicts. Not sure what the story is. Expecting Nick Sesento at some point this evening. But when you guys call in, there probably will not be a phone screener. Okay? So we're going to do this thing old school, Eddie Andelman style, if you're from Boston. I'm just going to say, caller, you're on the air. You bring it to the table. You introduce yourselves, and we'll just roll with it. We'll roll with it and see what we get tonight here on a Saturday night, a cold and rainy and dismal Saturday night. It's been a cold and rainy and dismal week here in New England. Tomorrow, my son is his sixth birthday party, a Halloween party. We're having 100-some-odd people come over here. Fingers crossed that somehow, some way, we wind up with some sunshine so these little 6-year-old rugrats do not destroy my house. Again, it is the Celtics post-game show you're listening to right here, CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. Patrick Gilroy, your host this evening. Your phone calls on the Movement Watches toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Avery Bradley, the story of the game, but even more important, I think, is the fact that the Celtics go on the road. They show some grit. They show some balls. A game like tonight would have made Kevin Garnett proud. They jump out to an early 14-point lead. Charlotte comes back. Game gets tight. Celtics pull away in the fourth. It just was the type of game that a team can really build upon, especially when you've got challenging games coming up for the Celtics. You know, not to get caught up and get lost in what happened tonight for the Celtics and in a big, as big of a game three of the season type of victory can be. And, you know, you heard Mike and Tommy going back and forth after the game on post-game live. And I tell you, it's not a must win by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, that is such an overstatement, but it still was a very important victory for the Celtics. The last thing this team wanted to do was start the season, a season with so many expectations, a season with so much hype coming into it. They didn't want to start this season 3, you know, going home to the Garden for a rematch against the Bulls on Wednesday, and then another tough back-to-back with travel, national television Thursday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. That is not the way these Celtics anticipated starting the season. Now the story is much different. Celtics are now 2-1. They go home, have a chance to be 3-1 going into Cleveland. That is a story that the Celtics would much rather tell. That is a story that I would much rather tell when talking and writing and blogging about the Celtics. That one win can make such a big difference in the overall psyche of the team, especially the young guys. You know, we lean on guys like Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley. But there are young guys making solid contributions to this team. Terry Rozier making contributions. Jaylen Brown, another solid performance for Jaylen Brown this evening. He goes for 7 points in 15 minutes. You know, numbers aren't going to jump off the page when it comes to Jaylen Brown. But Jaylen Brown going out there, not making too many mistakes. Of course, the big mistake in Chicago, but he's a rookie. That's going to happen. I tell you, I was on the air when he got drafted. We did a lot of Celtic-related programming, be it here on CLNS Radio or on ESPN New Hampshire, my home station. We did a tremendous amount of Celtic-related programming leading up to the draft, through the draft, and beyond the draft for the remainder of the summer. And nobody, unless you were an absolute basketball junkie, knew all that much about Jaylen. All that people knew was what the Celtics were feeding us, right? And that's he was a freakish athlete, NBA body, mature beyond his years, well-spoken, all the stuff that you hear. But so much of that stuff is always just GM. Danny Ainge has never said a negative word about any one of his draft picks in the 13 years that he's been here. So it's tough to sort of gauge what's true when you're leaning on Danny Ainge and Wick Grousebeck and Rich Gotham for answers, right? But I think that this time anyways, everything that Danny Ainge was touting about Jaylen appears to be true. The guy can play in NBA basketball games right now, and he just turned 23 days ago. He is going to become more and more important and a vital part of this Celtics team as the season moves along. It's not all sunshine and roses, and we'll get into what I didn't like about tonight's game. It's a consistent thread through the first three games of the season. I never thought I'd say this, but Evan Turner is missed. The Celtics' second unit is still a problem, and they're going to have to find somebody, whether it's Jaylen Brown or Terry Rozier, Tyler Zeller, somebody that they can lean on offensively as the season goes along to sort of carry that second unit, not allow these teams, be it the Brooklyn Nets in Game 1 to make a comeback, or against Chicago when Chicago really put the throttle down of the game against the Celtics' second unit, and tonight the Celtics' second unit blowing a 14-point lead early on in the game. So it's not all perfect for the Celtics, but a big grit and balls type of victory. It is the Celtics post-game show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com. Our movement watches, toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. I want to hit those movement watches, toll-free phone lines right now, and I apologize. We don't have a call screener right now. So, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Are you there? Hey, who is this?
It's Titletown Apparel.
Oh, there he is. I appreciate you calling in, Alan. I didn't know I was going to be flying solo tonight. I came in expecting a co-host and an engineer, and I have neither. So I appreciate you calling in. And are you happy about the game? What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I didn't watch the entire game. So I watched the first quarter, the second quarter, and I caught the fourth. So the first quarter was great. Everyone came out sharp. I mean, everything obviously looks better when the three balls and jump shots are going in and the other team is missing. But like you touched on a little bit earlier, the second team really let us down in the second quarter. Just no offense, just no one to really go to. We just got just exposed. And hopefully when Marcus Smart and Olynyk come back, I'm hopeful that, Smart can kind of give us a little bit of an offensive punch and a little tenacity with the second team. And if Kelly's shoulder ever heals, I think his shooting can help, which is great. I do agree with Jaylen Brown being solid in the small amount of playing time he's getting. I think he is making the most of it. I don't know if you guys caught the pregame interview they had with him. I think it was Abby Chen did it with Jaylen Brown. It was great. He's a so humble kid. He's it's so good to see him just kind of, he's like, I'm going to do me. I'm going to wear the short shorts. I'm proud of it. It's what I wear. It's comfortable. And he's just going to just work hard. And the fact that he hates Kyle Draper's nickname, the poet, he shot it down with open flames, which I thought was kind of great. But I love it.
Alan, I gotta ask you though, because you brought up two guys, right? You brought up Marcus Smart and you brought up Kelly Olynyk. Marcus will be back, sooner than Kelly. And we saw it last year with Kelly's shoulder. It's going to take him a while once he's back to sort of get back into game shape and get comfortable. The guy that shot 40% from three for a two-month stretch last year, it's going to be a while before the Celtics can count on that version of Kelly Olynyk. And face it, when it comes to Marcus Smart, he's shown us a lot of flashes, a lot of solid play over the last 3 years. But one thing that has been very consistent about Marcus is his inability to stay healthy and stay on the court. So let's just take a look at the team as it's currently constituted and not factor in those two guys, because it's going to be at least another week or two anyways. The Celtics have a challenging game coming up, a rematch against Chicago at home, and then they hit the road for a nationally televised game the next night. So back-to-back games once again with travel, this time against the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers. These are two difficult games, you know, one much more than the other. But if the Celtics have to once again lean on that second unit, who do you have confidence in right now that can help carry the load offensively to allow guys like Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley and Al Horford, Jay Crowder, to catch their breath even a little bit?
I mean, obviously, really, the only guy really now, really the only guys who's showing any sort of promise is Rozier, and believe it or not, probably Jaylen Brown. I mean, you got other guys like Jonas Jerebko, who, I mean, in the playoffs actually against the Hawks, he was really the only bright spot of this team. He played great. Where is that Jonas Jerebko? He looks lost when he gets the ball. When he's not hitting open jump shots, he's really doesn't contribute on the offensive end. My thing, I think, is with Brad Stevens, he kind of lets the second unit, if they struggle, he gives them too long of a leash to kind of dig themselves out of the hole, and they kind of dig themselves deeper. I think once a team kind of goes on a run, he kind of needs to call a timeout, maybe insert one of the starters back in there, or kind of stagger them in and out a little bit sooner. You know, like how he has like Bradley, Crowder, Isaiah all sit for a long period in the second quarter, maybe kind of stagger. So you have at least one of those guys, so you have at least someone in there who you can go to get a bucket. I mean, I know it'll be game for game. Like Crowder tonight didn't really have a good shooting night, but you had Bradley who was hitting shots. So maybe kind of have him kind of go in, play off the ball, and just stagger. And then when the first team comes, maybe have, you know, Bradley sit and then bring in someone else. Just kind of mix and match. So you kind of have a couple starters during the game at all times, kind of how the Warriors are doing with their power four, kind of having two guys in at all times because their bench is completely depleted.
Which is funny though, because going into the season, right, everybody, whether it's us here at CLNS or the National guys or Sports Illustrated or ESPN, whatever that you read, that you participated in, or that you watched on TV, what was the one common thread between every one of them? It was that the Celtics were going to be one of the deepest teams, at least in the Eastern Conference. And here we are three games in, and their starting lineup has come as advertised. And you're right. There are major injuries to contributing players. I'm not going to say that Marcus Smart and or Kelly Olynyk are going to be the difference between this team winning a championship and not winning a championship, but they are rotation guys. Marcus Smart really is this team's sixth man when he's right. And when you don't have those guys, at least to start the season, you're right. It takes a toll on a team. And but one thing I know about Brad Stevens, in the last 3 years, he has become somebody that he's masterful at making in-game adjustments, right? So now he's going to make some out-of-game adjustments. The Celtics have finally got a few days off here. They don't play again until Wednesday. I expect one thing and one thing only. I don't know how this team will look when they come out Wednesday, but I know with these 3 days off, Brad Stevens will make the necessary adjustments to compensate for the losses of these guys, because this second unit, the way it's playing, they can't continue to win basketball games with the second unit being so anemic offensively.
And that's where I'm going to disagree with you. From watching what Brad Stevens does, he's kind of married to his rotation. It's kind of like, this is what I do, and that's it. That's what it kind of has seemed to be. And what I like him to be like, you know what? This isn't working tonight. Let's try this. Let's insert this line. Let's make some adjustments. Let's maybe bring in Crowder at the 8-minute mark instead of waiting until 5 minutes. Like, he comes out of the game, he sits to like 4 minutes in the second quarter. Bring him a little early. The guy's 26. Let the guy play 35 minutes. Like, these guys all play between 30 and 34 minutes usually. I mean, you can play a little bit longer. I know it's the beginning of the year. You don't want to wear them out, but you got to win games. It's about winning games. Right. You can't save yourself for the end. Nothing's promised tomorrow. You got to win today. And you saw how it was at the end of the year. There was a 3 or 14 tie with the same record.
Four-team tie. The Celtics wind up in fifth seed, lose home court advantage, and I believe to this day, even without Avery Bradley, if they're playing at the Garden to start the playoffs, they probably knock off Atlanta. You're absolutely right, Alan.
Like, even though we were 1-1 going to this game tonight, versus a team like Charlotte, who was going to be, you know, right in the thick of things, like, this is an important game. That was an important win, believe it or not. These games are all important. I don't care that this is 82. When you're not a Cleveland, a San Antonio, or a Warriors team, where you're going to have, when you're going to blow out teams by 10, 15, 20 games in your division, that's different. When you're fighting tooth and nail with six other teams for three spots, you got to pull out the stops from day one. You can't worry about tomorrow. That's just my opinion, but I'm going to go and let you take another caller. But
Alan, you got any sort of promo codes or anything going on Title Town you want to tell the people about before we let you go?
We don't have any promo codes yet, but right now on Instagram, where we got our JC99 slides from, it's Instagram account iSlideUSA. They nominated us for Design of the Week. So there's four candidates. So if you go on their page and click on their contest photo and you vote for us, we are number two. Like, that's our code number is two. We're currently in the lead. So if we can get the rest of Celtics Nation in there voting for us so we can receive a free swag pack from them, that would be great. And if you guys want to check out the website, TitletownApparel.com, check out all our new season 3 items. We've got a nice views from the 617 Bridge, Bacon Bridge tee, which is awesome. We have a great City on Lock tee with five of our players on there. A new Air Jalen tee, which is doing really well. And then we have our JC99 Jesus tee, which is going like hotcakes over here. So go on online, grab a tee, represent at the Garden, and you'll be seeing me next week in Cleveland at the Quicken Loans Arena, Breton. And I will be calling that night too when walking down Cleveland and everyone wearing wine and gold is going to be hanging their heads because we're taking down Cleveland next Thursday.
There it is, man. I appreciate the phone call, Alan. I'm with you. We're taking down Cleveland for the second time in a row in Cleveland. Until then, Alan, have yourself a great rest of the weekend.
You too. Keep up the good work. I'll talk to you.
Thanks, brother. There he is, Alan from Titletown Apparel. Check him out on Instagram. I saw a picture of Alan with Jay Crowder's mother at the Garden the other day. It's just really cool stuff that Alan's doing over there at Titletown. Really cool stuff taking place tonight. The Celtics, with their first road victory of the season, improved to 2-1. They go on the road into a hostile environment, the Charlotte Hornets home opener. The Hornets had been 2-0 to start the season, including a dramatic comeback victory over the Miami Heat. Celtics win 104-98 on the back of Avery Bradley's masterful 31-point performance, 11-rebound performance. And if you had told me to start the season through three games, Avery Bradley would be Celtics' leading rebounder, I would have told you the Celtics would be 0-3. Instead, they sit here in 3-1. It is the Celtics post-game show. It is CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPNNHRadio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, Nick Sesento behind the glass. When we come back, more of your phone calls on the Movement Watch's toll-free phone lines, 215-7771. 347-215-7771. It is the Celtics postgame show. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions, or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement watches. They start at $95. I purchased the chrome gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celtics Beat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celtics Beat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celtics Beat.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Guard Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Celtics post-game show. Hanging out with you guys, the fans of the Boston Celtics. I'm a pretty lucky guy. You know that? I get to talk to you guys after just about each and every Celtics game right here on CLNS Radio. On ESPN New Hampshire Radio, I get to talk to you guys before, 40-50% of the games. I'm talking to Celtics fans quite a bit these days, Nick Cicento, and I'm glad you're here, Nick, because I thought I was going to be talking to myself for an hour, maybe talking to some fans. The fact that you're here means that my mouth can take a bit of a break. I had some pretty major oral surgery this week, and it's okay. I mean, I'm a trooper. I'll always do radio if I can open my mouth, but it's not comfortable. Like, I want to rest my jaw every now and again, and when I saw there and you pop up on Skype and suddenly there was typing on the board and I saw that it was Alan because you typed in his name. I said, Nick is here. This is good stuff. I have to talk for a straight hour. So Nick Cicento, you just got back from a bit of a road trip. Celtics didn't win while you were in Chicago, but how, you got to tell me, how was the experience being in Chicago, opening night for the Bulls? But that really was the minor story. I imagine Chicago just must be insane right now.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's World Series fever. So, I mean, opening night for the Bulls, Dwayne Wade homecoming. I mean, it generated as much excitement as it possibly could. But when the Cubs make it to the World Series for the first time in, I don't know, like a century or something like that, you know, it's kind of that takes, you know, front row seat. I don't know. Unfortunately, I think they lost last night, and I don't know how they're doing. They weren't winning last time I checked the score tonight. But, you know, they're just still – the Chicago fans are just so excited. And, I mean, the city of Chicago itself is just a wonderful city. I really like Chicago. I mean, it gets a bad rap, which you hear in the headlines about, you know, the violence, which really occurs in, you know, pockets in certain parts of the town since they, you know, tore down the public housing and stuff. Some of the, you know, the bad elements kind of spread around through the city. But I think, in general, the city of Chicago is a very nice city. The people are very nice. It's interesting compared to, you know, where I'm from in Massachusetts, which is New Bedford. We have, like, the worst drivers in Massachusetts. And then I moved down here to Florida and Tampa Bay area, and we have the worst drivers from all over the country down here. And it's interesting to see a city as massive and as huge with as many people as Chicago has, that, you know, the people actually tend to drive, you know, with consideration for each other, which is something odd for me, as, you know, as a Massachusetts, you know, former Massachusetts resident and now a Florida resident. You know, I get to see something different. But World Series fever took over. I got my picture taken in front of Wrigley Field. I went down to Wrigleyville and, you know, had a few drinks at I think it was called the Sluggers or something like that, one of the more famous bars down there. But then went over to the United Center and Got to see the Celtics put up a pretty good fight. You know, I called in after the game. I was a little bit, you know, amped. I had a few beers, so maybe my assessment of the game wasn't quite as, you know, on point as it normally would be, you know, because I was getting heckled by all the fans throughout the whole game, you know, for wearing my green jersey and everything. But I happened to be loud. I still haven't regained my voice, and I happened to be loud. So I had a good five rows of Bulls fans behind me that started to, you know, chant, "Celtics suck," clap, 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 clap. So then I just started yelling back, "17 chips," clap, 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 clap. And somehow just me alone managed to shut down five rows of Bulls fans just by letting them know that we have, 11 more championships than they have, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
And then I started talking loud, and, you know, like, you know, Michael Jordan was a great player, but Bill Russell was better. So, you know, that's all that matters. So, I see. I didn't get a chance to watch most of the game. I got in just as the game was ending.
That's okay. That's okay, Nick, because I did want to ask you, because you were out there in Chicago, you saw the game. The same problem has plagued the Celtics for three games now. So the fact that you didn't have a chance to sit down and watch tonight's game is sort of irrelevant to the whole conversation right now. The Celtics' first unit is coming as advertised. I believe,
yes,
Al Horford will eventually give us a little bit more offense. Tonight he gives you 14 points. He's going to give you 16 to 18. He's not going to jump off the page with a 34-point outburst. That's just not who he is.
No.
Other than that, they're starting line as advertised. They play smooth. They play hard. The transition basketball is something to be seen. It's absolutely beautiful if you're an old-school basketball fan. This is truly the pace and space offense that Brad Stevens has been preaching here. All that being said, the Celtics are feeling the effects of no Evan Turner, no Marcus Smart, and no Kelly Olynyk. So Evan Turner's gone. He's not coming back. Marcus Smart is out at least for the short term, let's say another couple of weeks until he's back and effective. And Kelly Olynyk, I'm not counting on Kelly until 2017, because even if he does come back, it's going to take Kelly a while to get back into the flow. He didn't have an offseason. He hasn't even done contact drills yet. So Kelly Olynyk is still a ways away. So if you're counting Kelly Olynyk to be the second unit offensive lift that this team so desperately needs, count on somebody else right now. Looking at the roster as it's currently constituted, Nick, I'm worried. The Celtics gave a big lead against the Brooklyn Nets in game one. The Celtics' second unit was the unit that faltered in Chicago and didn't allow the first unit to overtake in that game. A winnable game if the second unit had stepped up. And tonight, once again, second unit blows a 14-point lead and nearly lets the Charlotte Hornets back into the game late in the game in the fourth quarter. So you tell me, when looking at this Celtics team, looking at this Celtics roster, do you agree with our friend Alan at Titletown Apparel that rather than making wholesale changes the way that Brad Stevens has always done, is it time to reinvent his coaching style, at least in the short term, and always have one or two of the starters out there, and one of the offensive starters? So, yes, Jay Crowder's a nice offensive player, but he's not going to carry the load. Are you saying that at this point you need to have a guy like Isaiah Thomas and or Avery Bradley on the floor for all 48 minutes?
Yeah, I think you really need to have a mixture of some of the starters to go with the second unit. Because if you look at the box score, the second unit as a whole, there wasn't a single bench player that was in positive plus minus. The best was Jaylen Brown, who was -1. And the rest goes down, Jerebko, -5, Mickey, -5, Green, -6, Zeller, -3. And Zeller, and I've been saying this, and I mean, nobody wanted to bring up Evan Turner. We wanted to leave Evan Turner out of this. But when 40% of Tyler Zeller's scores last season came off of Evan Turner assists, that really lets you know that Tyler Zeller's just not really going to get anything done. He got some rebounds, and that's a big issue for this team, is I think rebounding. But when you score 2 points and four rebounds, why are you getting paid $8 million? I know that, you know, Ainge has his reasons for everything, so I'm not, after three games, ready to, you know what I'm saying, question Ainge, or ready to, sound the alarms, or, you know, get, you know, too frightened right now. But there was just nobody. Terry Rozier, -10. And, Terry Rozier is a quality player. but there just isn't enough talent on the bench with Smart gone or Smart out and Olynyk, who's like the softest player on the face of the planet as far as I'm concerned, not being there. There's just not enough talent on the bench for us to go straight bench. It just can't happen. Brad Stevens has to mix and match some of the starters with some of the bench. It just has to happen because there just isn't enough firepower on that bench. Nobody even scored in double digits off the bench. There wasn't even anybody that had 5 rebounds off the bench. Nobody had anywhere more than 2 assists off the bench. There was no steals and 1 block off the bench.
No, the bench was irrelevant.
The bench is irrelevant.
Yeah, if
absolutely.
You look at the bench play tonight, it was just about irrelevant. The one guy off the bench that made solid contributions is Jaylen Brown. And again, I started the show, Nick, talking about Jaylen. We've talked about him after each and every Celtics game this season. Look, Jaylen Brown, because of where he played his college ball, because he didn't play in the NCAA tournament, he was a guy that went, let's just say, unnoticed, at least in New England. Okay, this is a pro sports town. Unless you are a guy, people here knew who James Young was because they saw his dunk on SportsCenter 3,000 times in the NCAA tournament. That's the only reason they knew who he was. If that dunk never happened, nobody would have known who he was. Okay, look, I'm just telling you how it is in New England. You're from here; it's a pro sports town. And look, this guy surprised everybody. I think everybody thought that Jaylen Brown was going to be a 19-year-old that found his way to Maine, and instead, right now at least, with Marcus Smart out, he's become the sixth man. It's banana land to me that a team that is projected to win 52, 53, 55 games has got a 20-year-old kid. And by the way, he turned 20 48 hours ago. A 20-year-old kid right now is their most effective player coming off the bench. But tonight, in 15 minutes, he goes 3 of 6 from the field, gives you 7 points. Most importantly, though, those 7 points, he's getting his points game in and game out the right way. He does things for the Celtics that nobody here has been able to do in quite some time. And the last guy to slice to the hole the way that Jaylen does was Paul Pierce, and he did it old man style. Jaylen does it with some flash and athleticism. Paul Pierce got there the way that Paul Pierce has always gotten there, where you shake your head and say, how did he get in there? But, you know, Jaylen Brown does some special things out there, and that's great. And if he were on a terrible team, there's no doubt in my mind he could give you 16 points a game as a rookie. But that's not the formula, in my mind, for success for this Celtics team. And if something doesn't change here, be it Brad Stevens changing his coaching style and having a guy like Avery Bradley and or Isaiah Thomas log heavier minutes, you can tell one thing, Nick. If you look at the box scores through the first 3 games of the season, Brad Stevens has been monitoring the minutes of his guys. I can't tell you how many times the last two years since Isaiah Thomas has got here, he'd go for 43, 44 minutes a game. Tonight, he played 35 minutes. That was his high watermark of the season. He really has been keeping their minutes down somewhat. And if it's by design, so this team can make a prolonged playoff run and have fresher legs come playoff time, then God bless him. But the Celtics are going to have to find a way to get better production from their bench. And by the way, I have full confidence when they're at home that guys like Jonas Jerebko and Gerald Green will give them more than they gave them tonight. This is what happens in the NBA. Your average to slightly below average role players always play a lot better at home. If you look at the splits between home and road for Jonas Jerebko last year, it's mind-boggling. If you only looked at his home numbers, you'd think this guy is a bona fide NBA starter. He's just not. He's a good player. No. When the Celtics return home, it'll be a amped-up Boston Garden on Wednesday. The Celtics come back 2-1. It's a revenge game. The crowd is always into it when Dwayne Wade is in the building. Rajon Rondo will be in the building. Jimmy Butler, who was nearly a Celtic, will be in the building. That will be an amped-up crowd. And I bet you get solid contributions. I wouldn't be surprised to see Jonas Jerebko go 3 of 4 from 3, you know, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, give you 14 points and 8 rebounds. And you would say to yourself, where's that performance consistently? But you're never going to get it consistently from Jonas. And that's what made Evan Turner so special for this team. And somebody, the course of the first month or two of the season, whether it is Gerald Green or Jaylen Brown or Terry Rozier or Demetrius Jackson, who we haven't seen yet, or eventually, hopefully, a healthy Marcus Smart, somebody's going to have to embrace that leadership role on the second unit, or you're going to continue to see the up and down play from the Boston Celtics. This is the Celtics post-game radio show right here on CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPNNHradio.com. I am your host, Patrick Gilroy, Nick Sesento behind the glass. It is the Movement Watches toll-free phone lines. That is the number that you call, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. The phone lines, as always, are brought to you by our friends at Movement Watches. Guys, you know this, I know this, we all know this. Department store watches are ridiculous. They cost $400, $500, $600. The good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out, and they are passing the savings directly onto you. Movement Watches are slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly, to me, and I know to Nick Sesento, because nobody gets more for his dollar than Nick Sesento, they are affordable.
Oh, yeah.
They start at just $95. You head on over to movementwatches.com. That's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. That gets you another 15% off your first order. That same first order comes with free shipping. So once again, guys, it's movementwatches.com, MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat for your 15% off your first order of a Movement Watch. With the holidays coming, you guys cannot go wrong. Celtics winners tonight in Charlotte on the road, 104-98. It was the Avery Bradley show down there in Charlotte. I always want to say the Charlotte Coliseum, even though they haven't played there in like two decades. But to me, that will always be home for the Charlotte Hornets. Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning, Muggsy Bogues, Del Curry. That was the Hornets team I grew up with, but it's now called the Spectrum. It's not Philadelphia 76ers old home, the Spectrum. The Charlotte Hornets play in a building called the Spectrum. The place was absolutely bananas tonight. Brian Scalabrine saying multiple times on the air he couldn't hear himself in his ear doing the broadcast. Abby Chin having difficulty communicating with Scal, communicating with Mike because it was so loud in there. A hostile environment for the Celtics team to go into. And I think for these young guys, for guys like Terry Rozier, for guys like Jordan Mickey who got some run tonight, for guys like even Gerald Green who is back with the Celtics, and especially guys like Jaylen Brown, for them to go into a hostile environment and come away with a win, 104-98, I think that's solid stuff for this young basketball team. You know, they've got some veterans here. We all know about Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley. Those guys have been there, done that. But for the young guys to go into a hostile environment when they could be second-guessing themselves after a less-than-ideal performance against the Chicago Bulls and come out of there with a win, improve their record to 2-1 on the season, have a few days off to get back home to Boston, let Brad Stevens do what he does best and get this team at the practice facility, making adjustments, hopefully getting a guy like Marcus Smart back sooner rather than later. All this is good stuff as they have off until Wednesday night when they have a rematch against the Chicago Bulls and what surely will be an amped up Boston Garden. It's going to be a hostile environment for Chicago as the Celtics really look to – it's one of those pride games. The Celtics, if you listened to Jay Crowder post-game after that Chicago loss, he was visibly angry. Abby Chin talked about it today, how angry Crowder still was the next day. This team did not take that loss lightly. The starters came out tonight, built a 14-point lead on the heels of that anger. It really should have been a blowout victory for the Celtics tonight, but again, the Celtics run into problems go to that second unit. Luckily, the Celtics tonight and Brad Stevens tonight made adjustments on the fly, got his starters back in a more timely fashion than he had against Brooklyn in game one and Chicago in game two. And Avery Bradley continued to hit dagger after dagger after dagger, scoring 31 points, including 11 rebounds. He hit 8 threes tonight. I've got a statistic for you, Nick Sesento. Avery Bradley is the second Celtic all-time to ever score 31 points, have 11 rebounds, and hit 8 or more threes. Can you guess who the only other Celtic was in Celtic history to have that same stat line? Nope. Nick can't guess. I'll tell you who it is. It's my favorite player, number 8, Antoine Walker. Doesn't really surprise me, by the way, that Antoine Walker had a stat line like that. But Avery Bradley joins Antoine Walker in the record books with 31 points, 11 boards, 8 threes, just a stellar performance. Celtics really just a performance full of grit and balls tonight, a performance that would have made Kevin Garnett proud. This was his type of game, just a ballsy type of game, and a game that it wasn't always pretty. Charlotte continued to try and come back. Charlotte played hard. Charlotte's got a good team. Charlotte should be a top 4 or 5 team in the Eastern Conference and a team that is on the rise, loaded with young talent, a team now that's got some playoff experience, and a team that is certainly headed in the right direction. Not a must-win situation for the Celtics, but a big win for the Celtics, and they do it with their starters carrying the load offensively once again. Isaiah Thomas continues to play at an all-star level. He scores 24 points, shot the ball well, hit some big shots tonight, led by example out there. Every time the Celtics needed a bucket, they could rely on Isaiah Thomas and or Avery Bradley to hit a big bucket. But Bradley, 31 points. Thomas, 24 points. Al Horford, 14 points. Really, really doing a great job carrying the load for the Boston Celtics. It is the Celtics post-game show. The Movement Watch's toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Back to the phones we go. It is Chris. Chris, you're up next on the Celtics post-game show.
Yeah, hey, nice to talk with you. I've been listening for the last, 10 minutes or so, and just have a couple points I was hoping to bring up. First, I don't know if you referenced earlier that last caller hadn't seen the game tonight, but what he was talking about with Coach Stevens putting in a starter with the bench is exactly what he did tonight, and AB carried the second unit to start the fourth quarter.
No, it was great. So I think the conversation started off with Coach Stevens. One thing that we've come to know and appreciate about Coach Stevens the last 3 years is that he's great at making adjustments, whether it's in-game adjustments or adjustments on an off day, right? And that was an adjustment that needed to be made. No more wholesale changes, especially with a guy like Marcus Smart out and Kelly Olynyk out. Having Avery Bradley out there, it's so important to have somebody that you can rely on offensively, right?
Well, totally. I mean, that's the thing. So, like, it sounded like, he was whining a bit about the bench, and it's like our two top bench players by far are out this year. You know, the two guys who were expected to carry most of the load of Evan Turner. We can't judge the bench until, at least December, maybe January, we know these guys are coming back, and we know what they can do. I don't think we can really draw conclusions yet about the bench until then. I think Jalen will continue to improve. Terry Rozier clearly has some of the nerves back that he seemed to have shaken off for summer league and preseason. You can just kind of tell some of his hesitancy. The last game, there was that completely obvious play where he had a pick and roll. He went over the pick. His guy went under the pick. He had an open three, but he pump faked and then knew he should have shot it. And then, forced it, because he knew he should have shot it originally. But today I thought he made some really nice plays. That driving kick out to Thomas for three.
I want to go back to the point that you started off with, though. Because maybe you're comfortable waiting until December or January. And by the way, I think your timeline is spot on. I think that there are some overly optimistic Celtic Green teams out there, whether it's in the media or fans, that are anticipating these guys to return sooner rather than later. And the point is, even if – and let's leave Marcus Smart out of this for a minute, because Marcus Smart, I believe, will be back in the coming weeks. But we all know, watching Marcus come back from ankle sprains now, this will be the third time in his young career that he's come back from an ankle sprain. It's going to take him a week, 10 days, 2 weeks to get back all the way once he returns.
Oh, totally. He's clearly subscribed to wanting to be 100%,
Absolutely. But what about a guy like Kelly Olynyk? Now, when Kelly comes back, we saw this last year. When Kelly Olynyk comes back, if you're expecting Kelly to step in and be the 40% three-point shooter that he was consistently for about 2 months midway through last season, that's not who you're going to get right away. He was timid when he came back last year. He was unsure of himself, unsure if that shoulder was going to hold up, and it took him a while to get back in stride. So, look.
Yeah, I hear that. And you know what? Kelly's past would indicate that that is going to be the case. The one thing I'm encouraged about, though, is that at least apparently he's been able to do full shooting drills for a month or more now, and he has been taking place in 5-on-5 drills. So I actually had shoulder surgery from the Celtics team doctor, Brian McKeon, who's the one who operated on Kelly's shoulder. And obviously I'm no pro player, but I do recall, like, you know, when your shoulder, it's tight, but, like, your muscle memory comes back. Kelly's a pure shooter. The guys, you know, Avery Bradley was talking about how he struggled coming back from shoulder surgery. Took a while for him to shoot. That's someone who clearly wasn't, like, a pure shooter. He's worked on it to become a great shooter. See tonight, obviously. But I don't know. I think his history would indicate you're right. But as a optimistic green teamer,
I appreciate that. You know, you got to be. You're a Celtics fan. That's why it's Saturday night at 11 o'clock, and you're listening to the Internet Celtics postgame show, because you're a green teamer, as we all are, right?
True that. So,
anyway, I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, you're clearly optimistic, and I can certainly appreciate that. But at least for me, because being in the media, and whether it's doing shows here on CLNS or doing the ESPN programming that I do, and all the various other stuff that I've done, the Celtics are picked nationally as, like, these darlings in the Eastern Conference, and that scares me a little bit. You've got national publications picking them somewhere between 52 and 60 wins, depending on the publication that you read. And they, by the way, a lot of these publications knew that Kelly Olynyk was going to be out for a few months, right? So if the Celtics continue to struggle finding a leader on the second unit to carry the load offensively, that's got to cost them some wins. And at some point here, let me ask you, as a self-subscribed green teamer, are you okay with this team doing what they did last year, and it's essentially hovering around 500 until January 1?
Well, you know, no, I'm not, because I think they have more talent in the starting unit. I think their starting unit is stronger than it was last year. Last year, the mess was with the starters, starting the year with David Lee and Tyler Zeller, and taking a while for the starters to get their feel. I think this year those both are defined. So I think the starters can carry us in a lot of days, like they did tonight, especially if Stevens does adjust his coaching style like he always seems to do. But I'll tell you, though, the one thing that I want to kind of say is that makes me nervous is I hear a lot of people saying, oh, I expect Al Horford to average 18, 20 points a game. And
not that guy.
No. I'd be happy if he gets 16 points a game and six, seven, eight rebounds and 4 or 5 assists and, you know, a block and a half or something. But he does so much more than the box score indicates. Clearly, I mean, a couple times tonight, he should have gotten a hockey assist if we kept one. That he sets great screens, you know, brings the ball up, initiates offense. I just think he stands out in such a way that it's subtle things and maybe less obvious than Sullinger, who just would rack up rebounds because he was a movable object down low, and he was good in that way for us last year.
Absolutely.
But I think our guards can come back and rebound. Rozier, Avery Bradley, I mean, those guys can rebound for guards. At least Bradley can this year.
Well, Chris, before you go real quick, I mean, you probably understand this. Avery Bradley, through 3 games, is the Celtics' leading rebounder. And that's just that's a mind-boggling number to me. This is a team that's got Al Horford, that has Pierre Johnson on their team, and Avery Bradley, their 6'3", you know, off guard, is their leading rebounder. Tonight he has 11 boards, career-high 11 boards. And look, it's not a recipe for success in the long term, but in the short term, the Celtics need it. They need all the rebounds they can get. This is, at best, a slightly below average to average rebounding team. And to have a guy like Avery Bradley go out there and lead the team in rebounding, I think that says a lot about who Avery Bradley is and his willingness to do just about anything and everything that the Celtics ask him to do. And that's something that I'm not sure people understand or people appreciate about Avery Bradley, but he gives the game what the game needs. And that's something that was always said about Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce, especially before the big three got here, was always somebody that gave the Celtics what they needed on any given night. If it was a game where the Celtics needed offense desperately, he'd go out and give you 35, 40 points. If it was a game where the Celtics' point guard was down or they couldn't get an assist for the life of them, he'd have an 8-assist game. If it was a game where the Celtics needed an interior presence, well, then suddenly Paul Pierce could shut down and put pseudo-power forward. He always gave the game what it needed. And Avery Bradley, I don't think it's any coincidence. He's the only remaining Celtic on the roster to be coached under Doc Rivers and to play with the big three. He gives the game what it needs. And if you look back at his tutelage, his upbringing, and where he came from in the NBA, and his biggest NBA influences being, I'm sure, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Doc Rivers, even Rajon Rondo, there's a lot to be said for that sort of tutelage. And I think now, 3-4 years later, all that work that AB has put in under sort of with that tutelage in the back of his mind and that work ethic in the back of his mind and that style of play to give the game what it needs on any given night, I think that's really coming through for him now. He's never going to be the flashiest player in the league. He's never going to be somebody that SportsCenter looks at and says, wow, he's like Steph Curry. He's not going to be that guy. But he is going to be a guy that hits clutch shots in big moments and carries the team, be it offensively, defensively, rebounding, assists. He's going to give the game what it needs. And with a coach like Brad Stevens, who changes game plans game in and game out, dependent on matchup, I think it's so important because he can count on Avery Bradley to do multiple things for him, depending on what that game needs, depending on the opponent on any given night. And tonight, Avery Bradley showed you exactly what that means. Coming out, the Celtics desperately needed somebody to go out there and support their second unit. So not only did he start alongside Isaiah Thomas, he was the first one back in, supported the second unit, hit big shot after big shot after big shot every single time that it looked like Charlotte was going to let the emotion of the crowd help them, catapult them all the way back. Charlotte did take a three-point lead in the third quarter. It looked like Charlotte had an opportunity to potentially extend that lead, potentially pull away. Avery Bradley wouldn't let it happen. Hit big shot after big shot after big shot, big rebound after big rebound after big rebound. Avery Bradley clearly tonight's Celtics MVP. This is CLNS Radio. We are the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. You guys can, as always, find us on Facebook, clns.com/Facebook or facebook.com/CLNS. You find us on Twitter. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on ESPN. And of course, you can join us here on the phones, this and every single Celtics post game show on our movement watches. Toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771. And, of course, tonight's show, as always, was brought to you guys by Movement Watches. That's MVMTWatches.com/Celticsbeat. That gets you guys 15% off your initial order with free shipping. It's also brought to you guys by Audible, audiblepodcast.com/try now for a free 30-day trial offer. Audiobooks. Our music, as always, provided by Joshua Morse, and I want to thank all of today's callers and everybody who tuned in. Guys, for CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, who, by the way, Larry H. Russell will be with you guys tomorrow because, as we know, he gets up at some ungodly hour every single morning. He goes to bed at like 7 o'clock, but he gets up at like 4. And Celtics Beat, the second you, if you're like a 5 a.m. riser to like let your dogs out and you go to Facebook, Celtics Beat is already out there. He's already posted it everywhere. So Celtics Beat will be available to have with your morning Sunday coffee tomorrow. So Larry H. Russell, executive producer, our program director, Justin Poulin, who will be with you guys on Monday alongside John Duke with the latest edition of Celtics Live. And for the founder of our network, Nick Gelso. And for my co-host and engineer tonight, Nick Sesento, who flew in from Chicago. I don't know how fast you had to drive from the airport to home, but I really appreciate you getting there and supporting the show tonight, helping me out. I'm Patrick Gilroy. Well, look, man, I appreciate it. You are truly a team a team player. If everybody were a team player like you, the world would be a much better place, Nick Sesento. So I am Patrick Gilroy. I plan on seeing everybody back here this Wednesday night when the Celtics take on the Chicago Bulls, a rematch with the Chicago Bulls. Until then, enjoy what's left of your weekend.
whatever you do, do it good, whatever you do, 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 Lord, Lord. When you're doing what you're doing, it's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself.